Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Thank you, Missy. That was a beautiful pet blessing. I think I've told you before, but at my first call, there was a child care and a preschool program. And when I was first called there, there was an expectation of chapel time once a week. Holding chapel for 20 preschoolers is not something taught in seminary. I didn't know the first thing about teaching that age group, and I felt a whole lot more comfortable with the confirmands and high schoolers. So I needed some help, and I asked the church secretary, "What does this chapel time look like?" She just kind of rolled her eyes. She goes, "Basically, Pastor, it's simple. You show up, you read from the Bible, you teach the kids about God's love." Okay, check. I can do that. Yet I wasn't sure if what I had planned would fill a whole 20 minutes of chapel time. So after reading and teaching, we would sing and dance to a Bible song that I played on an old CD player. During my first week, I dusted off my VeggieTales CD, and we selected the Hokey Pokey to dance to after the Bible lesson. And I told the children, after we sang the Hokey Pokey and turned ourselves around several times, this was a Bible song. If you remember, this was the song I used for the children's sermon 3 years ago when I was in the call process for OSLC. I remember telling our children at that time, that same day, that the Hokey Pokey was a great Bible song. And in his large, booming voice, Pastor Mike sat right over there saying, "Do tell." But if you recall the words of the song, "You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in and you shake it all about, you turn yourself, you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around, that's what it's all about," right? And of course, the song goes on with different parts of your body. And, you know, VeggieTales are different, so they use different parts. They say lips and tongue and head and bottom. But then the very end, it says, "Put your whole self in. Take your whole self out. Put your whole self in. Do the hokey pokey and shake yourself, turn yourself around. That's what it's all about." So as I look at it, that song is what God is asking from all of us, to put our whole selves in. If we but turn ourselves around from what distracts us, open our whole selves, placing our whole selves in God's hands, we are doubly blessed. God makes us whole and holy. So in today's gospel, we hear Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. And 10 lepers, the original Greek says skin disease, but we translate that into leprosy. They approach him, keeping their distance, calling out, "Master, Jesus, have mercy on us." Normally, we would have no idea what these lepers were going through as they were separated from their family and community, forced to live outside of their own town or village. But because we have just come out of our own pandemic, which has kept us from seeing our families for over 20 months, some even longer, the fear of transmitting the COVID virus caused us to be separated from our loved ones as well. So we can sympathize, at least slightly, with these men with the skin disease. These lepers call out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus sees them and then says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." This was ritual practice. As people were healed or made clean, they had to be assessed by the priests to re-enter society. But this inspection would take place only after the healing was complete. As the lepers left Jesus, they were still sick. So I wonder what the lepers were thinking as they went. Were they convinced that Jesus would heal them as they made their way to the priests? Did they think that the priest would care for them because Jesus had already set up some kind of arrangement? Were they simply walking away because, like Naaman, as we heard in our first reading, They expected Jesus to at least come to them and lay his hands on them to make sure the healing began. And when Jesus just simply called back across the distance, they left in frustration. And until they were made clean, I guess, and continued to see the priests. We don't know the answer to these questions, but what we do know is that as they left, by the grace of Jesus' words, they were made clean. They were healed. Now, the Bible tells us that they were all healed, but only one, after noticing, turned back. Turned himself around, praising God in a loud voice. He finds Jesus and lays flat on his face on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And that man was the Samaritan. Out of 10 that were healed, one came back, 10%. And of course, Jesus notices that and points it out. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Again, we don't know why the other 9 didn't return like the Samaritan did. Maybe they were still traveling because the temple for the other 9 was much farther away than the temple of the Samaritan. Maybe the other 9 were so eager to see their family, they wanted to get home as soon as they could. We don't know. But as they listened to Jesus and went on their way to see the priest, they were healed and they were blessed. And then there's a Samaritan, still on the ground, thanking Jesus. And Jesus finally says to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, to get the full understanding of what Jesus does here, we need to break into the original Greek. The Greek word translated as well in the phrase, your faith has made you well, is the Greek word sozo, to heal. But it also means to be whole, or in this case, to be made whole. Jesus was telling the Samaritan, your faith has made you whole. The Samaritan was already healed, just as the other 9 were healed that very day. But in showing gratitude, his faith has made the Samaritan whole. The faith of the Samaritan brought him back to Jesus. His gratitude drove him to dive his face into the dirt at Jesus' feet and give thanks. The Samaritan's gratitude for the new gift of life that he was experiencing and feeling made him whole. It's the Samaritan's gratitude to Jesus' graciousness that Jesus declares makes the Samaritan doubly blessed, healed, and made whole. As I think back when I would prepare for the chapel time at the preschool, it was sometimes difficult to switch into that mode of being present with the children. You know, life concerns of the church, preaching, organizing, parenting, these thoughts are always buzzing around my brain. I'm sure you know the feeling as you go through your daily or weekly routine. And if you're anything like me, it's easy to overlook the blessings as we try to fulfill our daily responsibilities. And sometimes I would look at chapel as one more thing to do on my to-do list. But here's what happened at chapel as the children and I showed up and trust was established. First, I was blessed to be with them. They would ask the most wonderful questions. And I would learn a lot about their parents, more than their parents ever wanted me to know. And that was a blessing, being present with one another. It's all it takes to be blessed. But then one morning, one of the children came up to me after the last song and gave me a hug. And then another child, and then another child, And chapel ended with a big group hug. And I was, and we were, doubly blessed because graciousness was met with gratitude. Don't mind the Iron Man costume. It was Halloween, folks. That's all that was there. Our gospel lesson today makes me think about how often I'm thankful for God's blessings in my life versus how many times or how much of life I take for granted. I wonder if I show gratitude for God's graciousness 10% of the time, or if I'm distracted by life's to-do list that I struggle to even do that. And I ask you to evaluate the same thing. Not that you experience guilt, rather to turn yourselves around. The Samaritan is healed, then made whole by showing gratitude when he gets up and goes on his way because he is doubly blessed. Can you imagine the life and the vitality he showed others as he shared with his family and friends this great news? Can you picture the reunion as he shared with them his revitalization, this renewal from being dead? And that's what it was like. Having leprosy in the first century, people avoided you, if not totally ignored you. It was like you didn't even exist. And now he has new life from Jesus. And now he is able to celebrate by first thanking God and then sharing life with others. And like the Samaritan, we are no longer the walking dead. Through God's graciousness, we are alive in Christ. We are no longer dead to sin, but reconciled in the love of God. Like the 10 lepers, we are healed and made clean. Done. End of story. But now, what does it look like for us to be made whole? Now we can reveal that gratitude with the one who is so gracious and honor that graciousness by sharing it with everyone else. Usually, Jews and Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. They didn't agree on hardly anything. But in this case, gratitude made all the difference. Gratitude gave the Samaritan courage and joy to return and praise Jesus. The graciousness of God brings people together. Why should we approach others with whom we might not agree? Because God's graciousness leads us to be unified in gratitude. That's what the other 9 missed. It's not that they were bad people. It's not that their actions were wrong. It's that they didn't get to joyfully experience the wholeness of God when graciousness meets gratitude. And then, of course, share that joyful wholeness with others. What's it look like for you to put your whole self in? Turn yourself around. Enjoy God's wholeness, because that's what it's all about. Amen.